Let's continue in prayer. Holy, holy God, we praise you. And we confess that in the midst of all of our running around, in the midst of our anxieties, in the midst of our enthusiasm about so many things, we lose sight of the wonder of this evening. That the God of all creation would make himself present to us, fully present in a little baby. Grant us that this evening, as we worship, as we go wherever it is we're going, we may catch a glimpse, keep a glimpse in mind and heart of the wonder of this holy night and of the wonder of your presence with us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm wondering if we have anybody that was born on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day out there. Anybody? Because the last two services, I've talked about somebody that I know was born on Christmas Eve, and after the service, people came up and said, I was born on Christmas Eve. Or this baby last year was born on Christmas Day. And what a wonderful thing. Whenever we get to December 24th, I always remember a couple of dear friends, Joyce and John Eric. Joyce is that kind of person who loves to just be doing stuff. She's always on the go, and she loves being around people. So Christmas is a very busy time for her. She will have a brunch at her house and invite people from church over to enjoy the fellowship. Christmas Eve, there are always plans for getting together with family, friends. Christmas Day, they're always running somewhere. She always has plans. She's always on the move. And on that December 24th, Christmas Eve, 18 years ago today, the time came for her to deliver her firstborn child. And John Eric got her in the car as quick as he could, and off they went to the hospital. And she gave birth to Anna. They wrapped her in bands of cloth and held on to her until it was time to place her, not in a manger, but in a crib with nice warm lights and all the rest of that. Anna was born. It was a beautiful day. And it's a testimony to the fact that when the time comes, all your other plans are put off to the side, right? I mean, imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph. Undoubtedly, Joseph, a carpenter, do you think maybe he would have made a nice crib for this newborn child? I mean, it would be their firstborn child, but of course, angels had told them, this is not just any child, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The God of the universe is coming and being present here on earth. Do you think maybe a carpenter dad would have said, let's see what we have to work with, and used whatever he could find to make the nicest crib possible for this child to be placed in? Do you think maybe Mary, this young mother, not much to offer the King of Kings who's coming to the earth, but that maybe she would have been preparing the house to the best of her ability so that they could welcome the king in the best way they could? Of course, that's not what happened. That crib wasn't going to make it to Bethlehem. The powers that be, Caesar Augustus, no less, tells them, you've got to go to the hometown of the family you've come from. And there's no way, it's going to be hard enough for Joseph to get Mary there, to say nothing of getting this crib there. The house, that's left behind. They got to leave all their plans, all that they've been preparing for, and they just got to go. And they get to Bethlehem. And not only do they have to leave their house and the crib behind, but now they get there and all the houses are full. Any relatives they have there, they're already filled to the brim. We got no place for you. The inn has no room for them. And all they can do is search around for somewhere that they can place this baby. And the angels tell them, here's the place. The place is this manger, this feeding trough for animals. This will be the sign that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, this will be your sign. This will be where to find him. You know how a sign points you in the right direction? Follow this sign. And that sign is not just for the shepherds long ago, but it's a sign for us today too. You know, if you're looking for where's God in the midst of the challenges our world's facing, in the midst of the darkness that seems at times to just be enveloping, if in the midst of your anxieties, your troubles, you're wondering, where is God in the midst of this? The manger is a sign for you, a sign for us where to look to find God, God's presence in our world. See, this manger tells us that God's not going to just be found or may not at all be found among the powerful, the places we think that God will be found. It may not be in the powers that be, those who are famous, those who are celebrities, those who have wealth. We think that that's where God should come from. But in today's world too, God comes from the lowly, the least, the humble. So if you're looking for God in today's world, maybe it's time to look a little lower. And if you want, in fact, to be a part of what God's doing in this world, maybe it's time for you to make like a manger and be humble. You know, to join with that sign that God gives us, that it's among the lowly and the least, the humble, that God will be present. Last week on Sunday, in my sermon, I talked about how one of the distinctives of Christianity is that it's not a religion where we try to get to God. Every other religion, that's what we're doing. We've got to be righteous enough. We've got to be good enough. We've got to be strong enough. We've got to be wise enough. We've got to figure out the puzzle, say the prayer right so that we can get from here to nirvana, or here to heaven, here to God. But in Christianity, we have this one called Emmanuel, who is God with us. God comes to us in the Christ child. That's good news for us, but it's also news that tells us we've got to be humble enough to be open to the gift God offers us. That we've got to say, I need your help, God. I got to give up trying to get there myself. I've got to give up trying to be righteous enough in my own power, my own wisdom. God, I need your help. That's incredibly humbling for us human beings who, well, honestly, you're full of pride. We want to prove ourselves. And Jesus comes to us and tells us to lay off that pride thing, to give up your trying, your striving, and just receive the gift that God offers. And that's the second thing that we see in this manger. If we're going to make like a manger, we've got to be willing to receive this newborn child in our own lives, in our own hearts, the Spirit of Christ into us. God offers each one of us a gift, even here tonight. He loves you so much that he comes to this world to help you, to save you, to forgive you. And all you need to do is say, you're welcome, Lord. You're welcome here. Now, there's a verse, Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone will open up the door and let me in, I will come into him. I'll come into her. I'll sup with you and you with me. I'll give you life. And God offers each one of us that opportunity tonight to make like a manger and to say, God, be welcome here. Make yourself at home in me. Part of the beautiful thing that happens when we do that, when we receive the Spirit of Christ into our lives, we become able to be a part of what God's doing in the world, like that manger. When we're willing to join in with what God is doing, not just humble, not just receiving, but willing to do whatever it is God's calling us to do. You know, be like a crazy angel if that's what God's calling you to do. Or be a friend to somebody that nobody wants to be a friend to. Or to love those who hate you. Or to do good when nobody else seems to be doing good. To quit waiting for somebody else out there to do what's right for our world and for it to start with you. So that in this world, the light of Christ might just shine forth from a little lowly manger or a little lowly Mark Patty or a little lowly whatever your name might be. Because that's the way God works in this world. Not through the great and the powerful, but through those who are humble enough, receptive enough, and willing enough to just say, God, use me. Like Mary, let it be with me according to your word. I want to be like that manger. I don't have to be any great shakes in this world's eyes, but I want to shine with the light of Christ in whatever way you would have me shine. Because that's what our world needs. Certainly, I'm praying for those who are in leadership and who are transitioning into leadership. You got to know I'm praying, and I want you to pray with me on that. But tonight, I'm praying for you. That you will open your heart to receive the light of Christ. Invite Jesus to be born anew in you. And to go into 2017, not waiting for anybody else, not waiting for me, not waiting for this church, not waiting for anybody, but for you to go forward, willing to do your little part like a little manger. May this be our commitment, our prayer. That we will make like a manger tonight and in this coming year. Because I got to tell you again and again through the scriptures, again and again and again through the scriptures and in the lives of people like you and me, God accomplishes abundantly far more than anything we could ask or dream of when we're simply humble, receptive, and willing before God. So I want to invite you right now, in fact, to bow your heads in a moment of prayer and say, Jesus, be born anew in me tonight. God, in humility, we confess that we fall short of the goodness that we want to do, we want to be. We pray your forgiveness. Breathe your Holy Spirit, O God, into our hearts and our lives. Be born anew, Lord Jesus, this day in us. And help us to be willing, God, to do whatever it is you would call us to do, little or big. To stand up as light in this dark world. To stand up for goodness in the midst of evil. To serve your purposes, your kingdom, King Jesus, even as we live in the realities of this world. Grant us the grace, even as we light these lights now, grant us the grace to go forward shining with your light for all the world to see. We pray in the name of Holy King Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.